Oh, yeah, Saturday night. It's Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike. Sweet Melissa's in the studio. She just flew in from Tokyo. And boy, are her arms turned. Welcome back, Big Mike. Take it away.
It's Saturday night's main event. Warm beer in the cheap seats. Cheap seats. Cheap seats.
Cheap seats.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
We were at a wrestling match last night. That's why we did not have the show on a regular night at a regular time. That's why we're here on a Saturday night at our almost regular time.
Yes.
So we got some stories.
It's our first recap episode, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
A recap from an adventure.
A pretty good adventure, I'll say.
Yes. So we're waiting for Big Ed to really kind of come in before we chime in. But I know what you're thinking. Sweet Melissa is not in Tokyo. That's all right. This was something we planned, so we flew her back in. Sweet Melissa, tell us what happened when you got into Atlanta.
Well, I thought I would go to the bathroom like I sometimes do in airports. And I walked into this bathroom and there was like a greeter. I don't know what else to call her because that's all she was doing was saying, hello, how are you? Have a good night.
Hello.
Watch out on your right. Hello.
So you had a bathroom greeter.
Yeah.
Was she like, if you stay in there too long, we'll just think you fell in?
Did she ask?
Welcome to Atlanta.
Number one or number two?
Right.
Was she evaluating which, you know, how to deviate the stalls, how to, you know, not like you ladies are a little different from us. We can pick a urinal or a toilet. You kind of just, you're stuck with a toilet. So.
Oh, was she making sure it was only women going into women's?
Maybe that was really.
She's like just trying to trick you, like, how's it hanging, you know?
Was she checking to make, well. I don't know. Are you sure you're a woman?
I mean, she was saying things like sweetie, dear, you know, like womanly terms. Maybe that was her way to do that. Because if you like gave her an evil eye, she'd be like, maybe that's no sweetie.
So you never figured out what her purpose was.
She had like the same three phrases that she just repeated over and over and over.
That's a weird place to, I mean, you know what? I'm just going to say, Atlanta International Airport is officially a shitty airport. Right. I mean, you're going to put your greeter at the shitter? Really? That's – hey, way to go, Atlanta. Really, really classic.
Hot Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's like a hot deuce.
Well, yeah. I think that was like the only one.
They have the world's most dangerous smoking lounge in the history of mankind. Well, it was probably safer to like inhale, like put your head in a aircraft exhaust while it's running.
Now they have pretty pictures where they used to be.
Man.
And you probably can't go in them. They're probably condemned.
Now let me ask you this. Did you see a bathroom greeter at any other restrooms?
No.
During your visit? No.
No. Okay. And never have I ever in my life.
Oh, never. That sounds like a game.
Right?
Never have I ever seen a bathroom greeter in Atlanta or anywhere else. Do you think it's somebody who was just playing the role of a bathroom greeter, not really an employee? Did she have a badge of some sort?
Like she an employee badge? Not an Atlanta airport one, though.
Well, you know,
could have said Kmart.
Big Mike brings up a good point because there was this time when I was, say, like 1 in 20, don't matter the time and date. I might have been in Las Vegas. I might have had a plastic badge on my shirt. Yep. I might have had those type of sunglasses. They look like horizontal shades.
Like Max Headroom?
Yes. What? And I was cordoning off a fountain inside the Venetian and said, nobody get close. It's CSI. And I got escorted off the premise.
I'm not surprised.
For impersonating an officer. And I said, I think you're dumber than me to think I'm law enforcement. I'm obviously wearing a bright green shirt with a plastic toy badge. And have you seen my sunglasses?
I look like Max Headroom.
And the guy's like, you know, don't ever... come here again. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. There's only 35 more casinos on the strip.
Did you have some warm beer before doing this impersonation or act? We'll call it an act.
I probably had some warm rum.
Warm rum? Some warm rum and rum in the cheap seats?
Yes.
At the Venetian?
Yes.
They don't have alcohol in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well,
so that's my
point.
That's
what they try to sell you at the Hard Rock. Why you go to Vegas? Have no alcohol here. Lose money here. You know? Whatever. So, yeah, so there it is. Do you think it was someone impersonating?
I kind of hope
a bathroom greeter.
Maybe it was somebody who had like a really long layover.
Maybe they're friendly.
Awkwardly friendly.
Yeah.
Maybe there's weirdos and they like bathrooms.
Do you need a bathroom buddy? You know, someone to hold your hand underneath, you know, just to help you get through?
Or while in the stall with you?
Oh, God.
Do you need someone to help you spare square?
Well, and she was actually in the way because, like many airport bathrooms, it's not luxurious in space. So she was like standing in the corner. Like, people had to kind of watch out for her too.
In a time of like social distancing.
Right. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was. Should probably put somebody random in the bathroom.
Well, see, you probably got to fly a little business first class.
I did.
Yeah, see, that's good because we like the separation of the classes. And see, I think we need to take it a step further, and I'd like to see Coach get a little bit more Indiana Jones treatment. You know what I'm saying? Little wood crates.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Some chickens. Yeah, just kind of going around.
Flying around.
Some ethnic food, just kind of mulling in the air.
Sure. Give it the true experience.
Yeah, you know, like
it's that's better than a ride at Disney.
It makes you think, like, maybe I should have made better choices in life, you know?
I could be up in first class now.
But, you know, maybe I should have not majored in PE.
Damn it. It seemed like such a good idea at the time. It was an easy A. I got a degree, you know.
Fuck you, Southwest. You're fucking all coach.
You know, I took scuba diving in college.
That was a class?
Yep.
At a state or a landlocked university.
What did you do? Dive in a pool?
Sometimes, yeah. Is that weird?
That's weird because it's a pool. Scuba diving. You're like diving on like sunken ships or something.
We're looking at coral.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With that program? Mm-hmm. Oh, you did a field trip?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
To the Keys.
And we saw the Jesus statue. Some people did. I was scared.
Oh, Jesus or the statue?
Wait a minute. I'm lying. It's backwards. The ship was further down. I did see Jesus briefly. That sounds funny. But I didn't want to go down to the ship because people are scaring me.
Why?
Because you can get like trapped forever and ever and ever.
That's only if you go in the ship. If you swim around the ship.
Right. They were going in the
Yeah, no thanks.
Right.
That's advanced scuba.
Right.
I've read the SS Minnow.
It's the
SS Minnow. See Gilligan's Bones.
See a skeleton with a skipper's cap on it.
See Mrs. Howell's pearls or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her pearl necklace. The Minnow.
So did you see or hear the story? There was an unruly guest on Spirit Airlines.
I did. I saw the video.
Yeah, nuts, right? So
is that what screwed up Spirit all this past week?
Oh no.
No. They were Spirit was all screwed up because of Spirit. So what had happened was this guy was a little hammered and like started groping one of the stewards and or stewardess, or you know,
flight attendant.
Yeah, non-binary specific person that was employed. I don't know what you call.
But if he wants to grope a guy, I'm not knocking that. You know, if that's what you're.
No, he was groping a girl, and they took a swing at another staff member, and while telling them that his parents are worth $2 million.
I want to know what that was all about. Like,
yeah.
Why are you saying that?
Yeah, I'm like, well, how? I'm like,
so they're not.
I'm like, if I take out a bunch of life insurance, technically, I could be worth that much. I mean, I mean, really.
So is this why?
But what does that have to do with it?
Nothing. I mean,
he's drunk.
They tackled him and then taped him.
Yeah,
like hog tied him.
No. They taped him to the chair.
That's awesome.
Because I mean, you guys think about the safety of everyone on the plane.
So were they already airborne?
They were airborne.
Yep.
They used duct tape.
Oh, a big Ed.
Hi, big Ed.
What's up, you jabronis?
Hey, we have some little gobble-gool going on there?
Yeah, I had the gobble-gool yesterday. It was good. Today's good. Well, you know, I'm pretty hungry. It's been a long day. But I don't want to eat too heavy before I go to bed. So I just a single ramen. A little shin ramen.
There you go.
Good for the soul.
Yeah, Shin Ramen. Classic.
Those aren't sound effects, folks. That's real. That slurping is genuine.
Yes.
I'm a human soundboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I saw the video of the flight attendant. It was a big dude. And he said... He goes, you don't want none of this. He's like, guy was funny about it, you know, but he was serious. And he said, he made the duct tape sound again. I just kept wrapping it around him.
You know, they put that whole staff on like leave, which I'm like, you can't fire those guys. Those guys, you got to keep a plane safe in the air. Well, the guy's totally out of control.
A little bit because they realized everybody was pissed.
So the whole air crew was
like, Spirit is a lesson in like how to not manage a company. Like everyone in their upper management make like the wrong decision.
That video was pretty funny to watch, and I think that everybody else on the plane was having a blast.
Oh yeah, they like heckling that guy, laughing at him.
Now let me ask you this: is this why there's now a rule no booze on the plane that they can't?
Well, that's why they don't want
no containers on an aircraft. You can't to go to containers on the bar at the airports anymore.
Oh, you can't drink in the airport?
No, you can. No more to go. I think the bar.
No, you're not bringing like a big gulp of Jack Daniels and Coke. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You're not like I have half a fifth in a big gulp. You know. And gobble ghoul in the other hand. You know. Jack and Gobble.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at your drink. Like you can buy whatever you want once you get past security.
Right, but I think now the bars, the airport.
I got my airline. Whiskey in one hand, and I got goats.
I got my whiskey in one hand, my gobble ghoul in the other. I'm ready to fly.
Yeah. Ready for the fly.
Going on a fly. My Hello Kitty lunchbox.
Oh, but you know what, though, actually? You just made me remember. Delta.
Can I look any less threatening?
Delta only gives alcohol to first class and Delta Comfort.
No, that's – I'm fine with that.
Look, if they physically – if they think that you're drunk, they're not letting you on the plane.
If you're in coach, you're a loser.
Right. No, but I'm saying – like, you know, a lot of airlines, except Spirit, aren't serving losers. Alcohol on planes. And Delta is only letting alcoholics sit in first class or a Delta Comfort. Wait, I think I said that.
And you can't bring your own booze.
Right.
Like Big Ed said, you can't have the big gulp cup full of Jack with tiny little splash Coke anymore.
I mean, we appreciate you being a spendthrift. However... No, don't do it.
Think twice, folks, or you're going to get taped to your seat. Where do they get the duct tape from?
I don't know.
They probably keep it on board.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They're not the first airline to tape someone to a seat.
That's probably in their
I mean, what else are you going to do? If you don't have a sky marshal in there to contain the sky, I mean, you got to take measures, man. That guy could wreck. Have it.
Sure.
What if he goes and like knocks people down and runs into the cockpit?
And you really don't know his intentions.
Yeah.
And his parents are worth $2 million. So you got to take that guy serious.
Yeah, I wonder where his parents are.
Look, this flight attendant said when he grabbed her breast, he goes, it was game on. He goes, that was the last thing that guy did.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm glad that staff jacked that kid up, man. Yeah.
How old was this kid?
I think that should be his punishment. Like, they should fly him around for 6 months taped to a seat all across the country to show people this is what happens when you don't behave. You don't wear your mask. You want to play touchy-feely. That's it. You could go to jail. You could go to jail. You could do all this stuff. No, this is your punishment. It fits the crime.
And then you have a drill sergeant there pointing at him and saying, this guy is a shithead. You see this? Yeah. I was in basic training, and the dude lost his rifle on a bivouac. Fucking drill sergeant makes him stand up on a picnic table and make him say, I'm a shithead, you know, because he lost his rifle.
Listen, some of those guys that ran basic training could be like comedians. I spent a lot of time in basic training trying not to laugh.
Oh, I'm with you. Well, I'm with you.
I'm missing half of my inside part of my cheek to this day from biting it from not laughing.
So we had this guy, Kreiniker, in formation to give, you know, just sort of like parade rest. And parade rest, you can, you know, you can kind of move like one leg around, you know, kind of. But he's doing like he called it the parade rest dance, and he's fucking bopping, but his one leg's not moving, but the other one's fucking doing a jig. Fucking drill sergeant's right behind him. And it took everything I had to not laugh at this guy because he was going to get fucking juked hard once he realized that the drill sergeant was watching him making a mockery of parade rest, you know? Shit. I've seen some funny shit, man. I don't think I ever laughed so hard was when I was in basic and AIT. Because, you know, I realized that, hey, I'm not as stupid as I thought I was. There's a lot of fucking dummies out there. A lot.
Oh, man.
And there you have it. So, I guess there's incoming news.
Well, yeah, we have a cordon. Breaking news that the Subway Slam has been detained after events of SmackDown.
Wow.
This is from an inside source. That's where, right,
hold on. We got this.
All right, let's see. Now, geez,
I think he tried to pull on that broad's ponytail.
Yeah.
You only allowed to do that in the ring. Subway Slam's a little handsy.
Yeah.
Handsy.
Don't get so handsy.
He liked that dude on the flight, you know?
Yeah.
He's lucky he didn't get duct taped to the ring and everyone go, that guy, this is a shithead, people. This is what a shithead looks like.
Oh, there we go.
So the Subway Slam is
right now? Well, we're about to find out.
Well, call her.
Hello?
All right, well, we got to call her. All right, go ahead. You're live on Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. Go.
Hi, Mr. Subway.
Hello. I'm currently in the Albany jail county. I did something bad after SmackDown.
The Albany jail county?
Yeah.
Go with it.
Yeah. So after SmackDown in Orlando, I flew back to Albany just because something bad happened with the New York governor. You may have not heard his name. His name's Andrew Cuomo. And I decided to go to the governor. Yeah,
I think he's going to get duct taped to his office chair and go, this guy is a shithead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna order six women to stay 6 feet from him at all times.
Yeah. And they're going to go, you are a shithead.
And take out that nipple ring.
Yeah.
Where are you at? A Marilyn Manson concert?
I went to the governor's office in Albany, and I went on the wrong time. I was gonna arrest him on my own.
Big Ed, what's going on?
Big Ed, what are you doing?
Big Ed,
and
I'll mute it. Sorry.
That's coming from my soundboard. That was me. Right. That was the sound of water rinsing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Subway.
Proceed.
So I went to the governor's office in Albany, and I went in the wrong time because I went a couple hours after I finished up SmackDown Orlando. The alarm went off as I was going inside. I got detained. I have to be bailed out pretty soon. I don't know if I have to go to court or be bailed. But my main plan was I was going to duct tape Andrew Cuomo like that, what they did in Spirit Airlines. I thought it would be cool.
All right. It would be pretty cool. You're officially out of control.
Yeah, breaking an entry, it's against the law these days, just so you know. I saw it on AY50.
B&E is not cool.
And with you being a wrestler and a idol to kids out there.
Yeah, disappointing.
Yeah, you don't want to set that example, you know? Now you have to do, like, community service. And
you'll be picking up trash on the highway, and when the father drives by, he's going to go, kids, see that guy? He is a shithead.
I'm sorry to all the fans. I'm sorry. I apologize to all the fans that that inspired me. But I also think that Andrew Cuomo was setting inspiration to children before his BS happened. I decided.
Do you think him and Cosby get together? Like they have a good party? They got to really get down.
They're gonna exchange notes and hey, how'd you do it?
Hey, yeah, him.
What
yeah,
was your him, technique? Like you don't want to be in a room with them two and get a drink. No.
Yeah, him, Cosby, and Spacey too. Yeah.
Really? Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's drag him through the mud. Nice, good with this slam.
Is he behind?
Well, if you're a teenage boy, I guess.
Oh. Yeah. I guess Andrew Cuomo. They were hanging out. They were hanging out while at Cosby's house while I was going inside the governor's office and all.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But yeah, now
they touched my wee wee. It felt funny.
Yep.
It's a funny soundboard.
I'm in jail right now. I'm trying to play this game called MLB The Show, and it's not working.
Wait, what kind of jail are you that's got a MLB The Show?
Taxpayer dollars.
I don't know why they gave me MLB The Show. I thought they just give me crap, but
are you in the same jail like where they put in the guys from Casino or Goodfellas, and they're worried about, like, you know, well, you take a razor blade and you slice the garlic so thin it just melts in the pan.
Yeah, liquefies. And then you go, hey, tomorrow we eat sandwiches. You're getting fat.
Hey, I love Goodfellas. I'll tell you that.
Give me some gabagool.
Hey, Goodfellas is an awesome movie. I like that movie. I love that movie a lot. Unfortunately, it is not the case. I guess these officers knew who I was and they loved me. So he decided to treat me with a MLB The Show video game. I don't know why. Huh. They said they needed help on their account, so I just did it. I ended up getting banned after. I ended up getting banned for after like a couple of hours.
From the game?
Yeah, I got banned from my account. Got banned from the game.
It just wasn't your day, huh? Subway Slam. It's not your day.
For a day. For a day. I don't know why I got banned. I guess people kept losing connections and people reporting me over nothing.
Did you see us on TV by chance last night? Anywhere?
I did. You know what? Thank you for the support for the Subway Slam. you know, I appreciate it a lot. But yeah, you know what? I'll be back very soon, and I'll be back better than ever once I get out of jail.
We'll set up a GoFundMe.
Yeah, sure. Bail. You know what?
Sounds like you're at a Holiday Inn Express, but I don't know. Because I've been to jail. Yeah. It sounds like a Holiday Inn.
It might make him smarter.
Yeah, you know, it probably could make me smarter on not to do that. Not to do that again, unless Cuomo is touching doing weird things and touching people's wee wee again.
I don't think it was a wee wee.
I don't think that's how anatomy works, but no, sure.
Hey.
It's close enough. Well, Subway Slam, you be safe there, bud.
Yeah, get out of jail.
Thank you.
Safe and intact.
Do not drop the powdered soap.
Yeah, don't do it.
I might have to go. Thank you. I might have to go get out of jail free card.
But you cannot collect 200.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I'll be back very soon. All right, cool. I'll be out of jail.
Thank you, Slam.
Good call.
Bye, Mr. Slam.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Subway Slam. Well, never boring.
No. Don't kids out there, no breaking and entering. See what happens.
So, yeah, it's not going to pay off. And definitely not into the governor's office.
Yeah, crime doesn't pay kids.
And you really don't want to be in a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, that's like flying coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got chickens and milk.
Well, you don't want to be in jail because that's like flying into cargo pit.
There you go. Don't go to jail, kids.
Now, let me say, so going there at SmackDown Live, one, I think Big Ed saw the guy. There was a guy, from my angle, it looked like his shirt said shit hard. Not sure why I'd wear it, but I'm like, I respect that. That guy shits hard.
Okay, well, let me ask you, is shit hard, is it like hard shit where you need more fiber?
That would be hard shit.
I think maybe you just like to shoot it out your ass so goddamn hard that it fucking splashes and hits the porcelain. I'm like,
that guy's the most metal person I've ever met in my life. I'm like, he probably likes Judas Priest.
But what did the shirt really see? I didn't see this guy.
It's like no fear.
I didn't see the shit hard guy.
It could have said hit hard, but from my angle, it definitely looked like shit hard.
Yeah, it said hit hard. Which makes more sense than shitting hard. I'm like, well, how do you shit hard?
He missed an opportunity.
Just get some good back pressure and push hard. I mean,
with the right angle of the squatty potty, create a nice little back squat.
Yeah, that would come out like a fucking torpedo.
You would just have to figure out which gives you the right gas. You know what? The right. Because that's the propellant for a turd torpedo.
But a perfect turd will have no splash. It'll break the water.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, but
just
went,
like a diamond.
No,
like
gas. That splash, gas.
Oh, yeah.
So to give you a little extra oomph coming in the asshole.
Sure.
But I agree. You want a torpedo shaped turd.
Yeah.
That will slip into the toilet.
Well, you don't want too much PSI coming on the back end because you're going to blow out an O-ring. Forever.
That'd be bad. That'd require surgery.
Yeah.
That'd be horrible.
Okay. You would have to eat lasagna every night for dinner for a week to do that. To shit hard like that.
Hey, we
have
lasagna.
Now let me ask you this.
Okay.
How many people did we see last night that had championship belts on?
There are a lot of champions.
There is a lot of champions.
Fraud.
There were a lot of champions.
There were men. There were women.
There were children.
And the children.
I wanted to pin them all.
I sat next to a grown ass. Well, she's probably in her 20s. Had a championship belt on.
I almost felt like body slamming like a 12-year-old, you know? And just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, and then pick up the belt, you know, like, yeah, now I'm the champ, you know. I found that the strangest thing of the whole night is the belt wearing.
But did you see the commercial that they ran? When they were in commercial,
yeah,
that they advertised, if you go to WWEshop.com,
yep,
you can get your championship belt there.
Yes.
And you can pick the
They had the Money in the Bank briefcase you could buy there.
So. Oh, you got the money. I didn't see that part.
Yeah. Yeah, they told
yeah, they don't stock it for you, you know. It comes fully stocked with $200,000, you know. For $49.99.
What a deal.
How's no one else catch on to this?
They're fucking cheapskates. They don't want to pay the $50.
So I would be interested if anyone listening to the podcast.
If you attended.
You can email us at the show at warmbeerandacheapseats.com, or you reach us at Twitter at Beer Seats. But if anyone actually saw us last night, you know, it'd be interesting to see, because we had a couple posters that we kind of put up, one definitely targeting McAfee. He was pretty good.
He did a good job with getting the crowd fired up.
Yes.
So, yeah, he did a fine job getting everybody, you know, into the event. They did that 1 hour in. So it was our halfway. That was the halftime show. And it was really good. He did a good job. Got the crowd into it.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I could see why WWE, but you know, we were kind of messing with them
with the sign, which yeah. I didn't understand because I'm retarded. So I guess I'm dumb.
Yeah, he was McAfee is Einhorn, and Einhorn is McAfee. And of course, Subway Slam 316. We had Stanley Cup, which they mentioned a couple times last night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Was mentioned. Who is the ultra-masculine villain? Yeah.
Yes.
Who is he?
Yeah.
The world may never know. Like a Tootsie Roll
pop. So.
What were they saying about they were making fun of? The Buccaneers, what they call the
Trump? That was Heyman. He's a heel.
Yeah, Paul Heyman. Excuse me. Paul Heyman will do that in any town, and that's like what they refer to in the business as cheap heat is to make fun of something local that people would like. So, for example, when Raw was in Dallas a couple weeks ago, and MVP didn't like the cheers that they were getting for the almighty Bobby Lashley. He said, that's all right. I'm not going to hold against anyone here in Dallas because they don't know how to recognize a real champion because they haven't seen one in decades. Yeah. And that definitely got the crowd going. That was pretty good. That's why MVP, MVP does what he does. He's like one of the best on the stick. Overall, seeing it live, it's a very tightly produced show. It moved along. Other than a couple commercial breaks, there was always action kind of going on.
They did a very good job. And yes, it is a tight run show. They are on a timeline. Those matches don't run a minute over than what they're supposed to run.
Hey, I don't like to. You could get replica belts for like $300-$400.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm buying entirely a bunch of other stuff other than that for that amount of money.
Well, my three.
Then they have the Universal Championship Blue Toy title. I don't know what that is. I'm gonna quick look at it, see what that is. if that's an actual belt. Oh no, then they have these oh here we go. Oh $25 you can get a knockoff.
$25 you get plastic. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you get for $300-$400? Something that's pretty close.
Go on the WWE.
I don't have my pocket computer. I left it downstairs.
No.
No. I'll look it up later. That's and you know the people we saw, they didn't have the cheap ones on either. The chick that was sitting next to me, that wasn't a cheap looking belt. It looked pretty good. She shelled out some big bucks. That's when you know you're a fan. I'm a fan, but I'm not a fan like that.
I thought I saw Goldberg, but it was just an old guy with a beard last night.
He
was a big dude, actually.
He's a big dude, and he's Greek. He had the Greek flag. So he must be one
of our... Oh, that was the guy waving that flag. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
He must be one of our friends from Tarpon Springs.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's not mess with that guy, because I'm sure he could break out of duct tape.
Yeah.
Right when you're in the middle of this guy's a shithead speech, he's like, right when you're like, this guy is a shithead, you know, it's like, yeah. He gets fucking mad.
My favorite probably intro last night was for King Nakamura. With the guy with the guitar. I've seen it kind of on TV.
The guy with like the Sidney Lauper Jan Brady fucking.
Yeah, no, but that was so better watching live than on TV. TV doesn't do that whole segment any justice.
No, I agree. That was pretty entertaining. Because on TV, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Live, I'm like, wow, check that out.
Yeah.
He's playing the guitar.
Yeah, he was really playing.
Yeah, and Nakamura, like he always gets a good pop from the crowd, so everyone kind of goes nuts for him. Mike, did you have anyone that like when you saw come out, you're like, oh yeah, that was kind of cool? Or
oh no, Street Profits, man, watching them wrestle, watching them on TV, I'm like, yeah, they're all right, but to see them wrestle in the ring live, those guys are athletes.
Yeah, but the guys that they wrestled they put on were much better at it. I think the guys that they beat were much better.
You think so? Ziggler and Rude are a pretty good tag team. You know what? I think Rude had been out for some while. I think they want to kind of get him conditioned. But during the when everything was originally shut down, they were going at each other every week at SmackDown. They put on some pretty epic matches.
I enjoyed them. I'm not a Bianca Belair fan, but she does a great job in person.
Yeah, she's an athlete.
She's an athlete. She commands the crowd.
Yeah.
Real good job. Edge.
Yeah.
What a reaction for Edge.
Yeah.
Right?
Edge that was fun. Cena,
they had the crowd. They had the crowd wrapped around their little fingers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Edge was good. Edge had that when he called Seth Rollins Edge Light, people just went nuts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cena came out afterwards, you know, after, you know, for the dark show, if you will, after the cameras went off. That was fun to watch.
It's pretty exciting.
Oh, there were no cameras, you think?
No. That match was not on TV, that last match. When it was Usos.
Yeah, because the show goes off at 10. Because I was looking at my watch, and I'm like, the last, because they announced towards the end of the show,
that there would be one match.
One more match. It would be a three-man tag team. It would be the Usos.
And Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns and Mysterios and Cena. And I was like, wow, that's badass. But, yeah, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, show's almost over. Show's almost over. They haven't come out yet. And then they come out. I'm like, the show's over. So that was a
– yep.
That was
Oh, the guy with the square D onesie.
Yes.
Dominic. Old Dominic.
Yeah, you got a good reaction in the crowd when you talked to point out his, about his
fans. Big Ed was heckling.
There's blue collar people there. That's why they know what Square D is. You know, I first saw Square D as a NASCAR sponsor. I didn't know what fucking Square D does. I thought maybe it was like a Lowe's or something out west. You know?
Oh no, they manufacture electrical components. They're actually a French.
Yeah, they're hardcore electrical.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what they are?
Yeah, they do a lot. Like, take a look in your
conduit
house.
PVC, like outlets.
I got
my
break commercial box, commercial my stuff though.
Yeah, it's all commercial.
That's
funny. It's commercial, and in my house, my breaker box.
Yeah, it's residential, but I mean, you're as a contractor, that's who you're buying your stuff from.
Yeah, and when Brock Lesnar wrestles, and he'll come back to WWE at some point, he's gonna wear his little trunks that say Jimmy John's on.
Absolutely.
He's sponsored by them.
Do you think he puts one of the rolls in his pants?
Yeah, but I don't think that dude's sponsored by Square D. It just happened to be the colors.
Oh, I was looking for a Square D. I'm like, where does it say Square D?
No, it's just color.
No, but do you remember the Square D card was that color blue-yellow? Yeah. That's why I said Square D. Hey, let's hit the Square D onesie.
Didn't Kenny Schrader drove the Square D car, did he?
Yeah, he did. It was a couple guys. I mean,
was that
one of the Lester Wallaces?
Yeah, I think that's – you know what? I think he was driving the Square D – Kenny Wallace was driving that when he pushed Earnhardt up to Talladega and one came from like 17th and with like, you know, I don't know, 8 to go or something. Remember that Talladega?
Yeah, I was there. I was Earnhardt's last one.
Yeah, I think Kenny Schrader was driving a Square D, pushed him all the way to the front. Kenny Wallace, sorry.
Yeah, Kenny Wallace.
Yeah.
The funniest of the Wallace brothers.
Is he really?
He's hilarious. He was on
Herman.
Herman, yeah, they called him Herman. You remember the cart, the comic strip, Herman the German?
Yeah.
He got the nickname Herman the German because he was like a character.
Oh.
So, and all his friends call him Herm. They don't call him Kenny. Like, on NASCAR radio, they call him Herm. But he did really good. He was doing the late shift for a while.
Oh, okay. I just remember he had a restaurant in Orlando for years.
I remember that. It was a racing theme restaurant.
Kenny Wallace's Roasters. I don't know, something.
Kenny Wallace's Grill or something.
I think Kenny Rogers, but nice.
Yeah. Nice no. Which I think there's still one open in Singapore.
There is. I'm gonna go to Singapore just so I can get Kenny Rogers Roasters, dude. That was greatest chicken ever.
It was good chicken. No, I think it was. What was it? I think it was Kenny Wallace's Roadhouse?
Something like that. You can see it from the interstate.
Yeah.
And it was a racing-themed restaurant. And if Kenny led a lap, they'd buy a round for the bar. They had to buy rounds off.
Hey, so what was the one that was that you could see from iDrive from I-4? That was on iDrive from I-4.
It was Race Rock.
Race Rock,
And they had Bigfoot right out there.
You're going way
Yeah, and they had a monster truck. I think it was Bigfoot.
It was
went
Bigfoot.
Into the restaurant.
Yep.
Then they had two top fuel dragsters that were like hanging like wall ornaments. Like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I like Race Rock.
No, it was a great restaurant. And they even had good food for a theme restaurant. The food is very good.
Yeah, I agree.
Because theme restaurants, I've said this before, you go in there with very low expectations because it's a theme restaurant.
Yeah, we're talking about you, Planet Hollywood. Yeah.
You know what other theme restaurant has really good food? Hard Rock Cafe. I've never been disappointed with Hard Rock Cafe.
I've only been to one Hard Rock Cafe, and all I did was have beer there, and that was in Heidelberg, Germany.
I've been to the one in Orlando, in Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times. And always had a decent meal. Always had a decent meal. Again, theme restaurant, low expectation, and you get the food, and you're like, wow, this has flavor. It's cooked right.
Especially in the airport, let me tell you. Airport food, it's disappointment with a capital D.
And it costs.
They should be going around going, shame, shame.
Ding, ding.
Shame. You go to like Potbelly's and you get like a Subway, you know, type sandwich with like three slices of meat.
I ate at the Potbelly's in Midway Airport.
They don't call it gabagool, it's capicola.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're in trouble.
You're like, can I get gabagool on that? And they're like, what? Capicola? Oh, shit. I'm in the wrong place.
There's a guy that went and redid the whole Sopranos opening theme song, and he added lyrics to it, and he's like, I woke up this morning, and I got some gabagool.
Are you serious?
Yes, and that's all the song is. He's like, and then the next morning, has some more gabagool. I'm like, this guy's a genius. Like, someone hired this guy to do something important.
How about, did the Sopranos movie, the Many Saints of Newark, is that?
In October.
October. Okay.
October's going
to
come out.
We need to have a show outing for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That looks so good, so I'm pretty excited.
That'll be a show outing.
It's kind of Ray Liotta in it.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. Well, I guess you're going to have to you still want to, I guess, keep it kind of fresh in a sense, you know? And
yes.
What a better guy.
I think Ray Liotta is a great actor. Good actor. I enjoyed him. Favorite one of my – we talked about – Goodfellas. Yep. Great movie. He did a great job on that film. But I've liked him any film I've seen him in.
Yeah.
And to see him play like a non-criminal type character is kind of weird. Because in my mind, he's always playing a gangster or something. Or a criminal.
Yeah. What was that show he was doing on NBC there, Big Ed, a couple years ago? He was like the crooked cop. Was that just called?
Oh, with J-Lo.
Yeah.
That was good, real good. I used to watch a couple of episodes
of that. Was that just called like Blue or something like that?
I gotta think for a sec.
Yeah, but he was like a dirty cop in that one.
Big time, huge.
Yeah,
and she was, you know,
and she was kind of on the fence. You couldn't tell with her.
Yes,
it's like one of the few roles actually I liked her. I usually, but you know, I guess. To her defense, she usually plays.
You didn't like her in Selena?
Well, or, you know, I mean, she's always doing rom coms, so it's not usually my thing.
I'm not a rom com guy either.
What? A rom com?
Yeah, romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah, don't act like you don't know what rom com means.
I didn't hear you. I know what a rom com is, you fucker.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not glad.
Yeah, you fucking gabagool hater.
Yeah. Hey, did you have our? Were
I guess
we
you don't like mozzarella either?
Oh, mozzarella. Okay. Were we expecting our friend this evening?
No, not. Yeah, we'll talk about
no
it.
No special guest.
Trip Fink had
so
a rough week.
The eagle has not landed.
Eagle's gonna circle up in the atmosphere for a while, up at altitude.
Eagle's gonna glide.
Yeah,
he's got to look for. He's still on a hunt. So
for a mouse.
Yeah, he had a rough week.
Yeah, tired. So, well, you know, things always get better. So, tell him to hang in there.
Yeah,
there's always warm beer and the cheap seats to listen to make you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Mike, I don't know what happened to him.
He might be going to bed early these days, right? Doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know what his schedule's like. I know his days, but I don't know if you know, it's the Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I imagine his price starts pretty early. Oh, he gets weekends off?
I don't know.
Is he like officially
a cop
now or no?
No, he's in cadet school. He called me earlier. I was out in Daytona today.
Well, I say probably might end up assigning him to like a library.
There you go. There you go, cadet. You're gonna guard them. Make sure the kids don't make any noise.
It ends up being like you know, citizens on patrol. Police Academy Part 3.
Yep. Just as it was sliding down the shitter.
Yep. As Mahoney's thinking, I need to get out of here to protect my career. And it just
it didn't happen. Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
Did he do anything after those movies? Or did they pretty much lampoon his career?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, well, I mean, he did the Three Men and a Baby, but
oh yeah,
I mean,
that was
a big success, movie. Yeah. But he didn't do shit. I don't know what that was all about.
Hey, I got a quick question. I got an Olympic question.
Yeah.
You got the Olympics on in the background right
yeah.
now. We're watching diving.
Yeah.
Why are these guys under a shower after they dive?
Because the water's so cold, and that's hot water that helps them like kind of loosen up and stuff like that. So you'll see them sometimes jumping like it's actually like a hot tub to stay like loose.
Loosen up so their muscles don't get tight. Okay.
Yeah. I've looked that up before because that never made sense. I'm like, so.
Is that like spider?
I thought they were just rinsing the chlorine off. So.
Yes, yeah, that's where I was going to go with it, but I guess not.
But that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Because you'll see them like they hang out in a pool, like a little like wading pool nearby too.
Oh, I thought there they were getting a little tug from the, you know, the female divers. Like who's watching?
Yeah, like a special kind of.
Yeah, they got like cocktails and drinks and stuff. It's like, no, I'll dive later. That's cool.
Well, no cocktails. But
yeah, I'm good.
They have cock yank, not cocktails.
Oh. I just only hope they just wore less bathing suit.
Where the Johnson's just about hanging out.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure what that stuff is. I mean, that's what these athletes wear now.
At least Chinese guys are kind of.
Well, this is all they do. They're like, we just dive. We dive.
So if he doesn't win, the Communist Party is probably going to chop his dick off.
Well, his grandfather's dick, at least.
Yeah, somebody's dick.
So that's why you dive that like that. There's no splash. It splashes up his own ass.
He almost lost.
The family's like duct tape, you know, and they're not going to get free.
Yeah, they're on the Spirit Airlines.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what that tape is to remind them they don't want to be duct taped.
And in Chinese, I go, "Jishou shihe."
Something like that.
Yeah.
What's he got? A can of dip? Was that a can of like Skull or Copenhagen he just picked up?
Yeah. Oh. Long cut. Yeah, nothing like good old fashioned long cut.
Yeah. That's what I liked. Skull long cut.
Ugh. I can never.
No.
No, nah, my body was just too sensitive to it. I just like. Almost nearly. By the way, that clip they showed, that was the heavyweight wrestler doing the backflip.
Oh, really?
And he said after he won gold, he's like, no, the WWE's next.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Kind of like Kurt Angle.
Yes. Yeah. He said like Kurt Angle's is here.
That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle made a hell of a career in the WWE.
Guy broke his neck and won gold.
Pretty awesome. Pretty badass.
Yeah. No, tough dude. I mean,
is he kind of wrestling?
Yeah, a little bit, but he's not wrestling much. He's in a lot of pain.
I mean, as far as not wrestling anymore, but as far as behind the scenes,
he is. I think he's with AEW right now. I believe
you're right. I think that's. I saw an AEW advertisement promo on TV. I think that's where I saw.
I mean, the guy's got a good sense of humor. I mean, they used to chant, "You suck," every time he came out.
Yes. And but he promoted good.
Oh, he's great. And he had a good sense of humor. They did a lot of stuff with Stone Cold that used to be really funny.
I would imagine, as a professional wrestler, whatever – you've got to feed off the crowd. Whatever the crowd's giving you, whether they're giving you love or hate,
yeah,
you got to take that energy – and turn it into something.
Sure.
And I think that's a skill.
Yes. No doubt.
just like Daryl Waltrip said, whether they're cheering or booing for you, they're making noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's Daryl's always.
He was not liked very well.
In his younger days. No, not in his younger days. No, he was the mouth.
Cale Yarbrough called him Jaws.
Yep, Jaws.
But he, again, he's kind of like a professional wrestler. He played up to his
bad shade
they threw at him. I'll use a newer term, which I don't do often. But anyway, he took it and he ran with it, and he made something of it. There's a Subway commercial.
Huh?
I love your tuna, by the way.
Yeah. Yuck.
It is real tuna.
I really just like saying bereft of tuna anytime I can.
So anything else from our wrestling adventure? Anybody, any more thoughts?
I covered shit hard, right?
Yeah, you got shit hard. Let me tell you this. What was cool to see all the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The kids are beaming, man. They're like having the time of their lives.
Yeah,
they see the parents. The parents are having the time of their lives watching the kids have the time of their lives.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Seeing their heroes, which I thought was pretty cool because you saw a lot of moms and dads with their little boys, little girls, and they had the T-shirts on. Mom and dad had the T-shirts on. Pretty cool. Pretty neat.
No, I was rocking my shirt.
That was a total family night out is what it was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, there were just as many families as there were, like, you know, people palling with their friends, you know?
Yes, sure. Yes. So, which is cool to see. Very cool to see. And the fact is, it's still pretty family friendly. I mean, they don't get too raunchy or too dirty.
No, they keep the attitude there.
Right, they keep it toned down enough. They keep it. There's enough there to keep an adult's interest without mom and dad having to turn the kids' heads away or cover their ears.
Right.
So I thought that was just a cool observation. I mean, families, kids having a good time.
Yeah.
And people dressed up. A lot of people.
I like the little boy in front of us with the Street Profits shirt. And he was, when they came out, he was holding his shirt in his hand, like trying to almost.
It's like, look.
Shirt. Yeah.
Well, you think it's about that time?
Is it about that time?
I think so.
Okay. Man, we didn't talk about. I thought we were going to talk about Freiburgers. Oh, I guess not.
Oh no! Wait, are we? Well, let's talk about that. Hey, let's talk about that afterwards.
We're going to do.
Yeah.
Big Edge Rock and Roll Retrospective.
Take it away, Big Edge.
Thanks, guys. So you know, I'm thinking about after this one, maybe I'm going to do a top 40. And I think how many albums have I reviewed? About 22, 23. I don't even know. You guys know.
22.
If you do that, can you do a Casey Kasem voice?
This will be 23.
No, Big Mike. I will not be doing Casey Kasem.
Why not? That would be so cool if you could do that. Be Casey Kasem. No? Okay.
We'll see. I'll practice.
All right. If you just do like a little bit of Casey Kasem for me. But anyhow, this is you. Big Ed, rock and roll retrospective. Take it away, Big Ed.
So I was thinking I was going to do a top 40 after this and do like 10 a show, something like that. I have to figure out, see how long each segment would be, you know. But this would be one of them. This is a personal favorite. I think the last 22 are probably maybe 18 out of the 22 were personal favorites. But this one, for sure, The Who Are You, the eighth studio album by The Who, released on and August of 78. In the UK, it was actually released by MCA Records. Although the album received mixed reviews, it was a commercial success, peaking at number 2 on the US charts and number 6 on the UK charts. Who Are You was a Who's last album to feature Keith Moon as the drummer, who died 3 weeks after it was released. The ironic nature of the text, "not to be taken away," was stenciled on Moon's chair on the album cover that was noted by some of the critics. So if you look at the album cover, Keith Moon is sitting on the chair, and on the back of the chair, it says "not to be taken away." Now, the reason why he's sitting like that is because the photographer's like, "God, we got to hide Keith Moon's gut." I'm serious. This isn't a joke. He was just getting big from drinking, you know? So they took and they had him flip the chair around and sit the way he's sitting. The Rolling Stone, Greil Marcus said, "This by no means is a great record, but despite the doubt, guilt, worry, and self-laceration in almost every song, it's a strangely confident one." I don't really agree with that. I think this is a great record. It stood the test of time. It came out 42 years ago, and it still holds water. Who Are You is a staple on classic rock radio, you know. It was released August 18th, 1978. It was recorded between September of 77 and April 78. It's got 9 songs. It's 42 minutes long. Produced by Glenn Johns and John Ashley. The Who are Roger Daltrey on vocals, Pete Townsend guitar, backing vocals, lead vocals. John Entwistle bass guitar, backing vocals, and lead vocals on. Actually, on this album, he wrote 3 songs and sang on the music of Trick of the Light and 905. Keith Moon on drums. The album was a commercial success, going platinum 2 times in the U.S. and Canada, gold in the U.K., and peaking out at number 2 on the Billboard pop charts as selling over 2 million copies. The soundtrack to Grease prevented the Who Are You from achieving number 1 status in the U.S. So it was a big deal. Title song comes out with new song. A lot of synthesizers on this, and I think when I talk about this, you'll see why. Had Enough is a John Entwistle song. 905 is a John Entwistle song, and Trick of the Light. All the other songs are written by Pete Townsend. So many songs are leftovers from his Life Fight, which was Lifehouse project, which is something that he never finished. And Who's Next, Who Are You, and I think Face Dances has music that would have been on that Lifehouse. Lifehouse was going to be a follow-up science fiction album to after Tommy, you know, another concept album, but it just never came to light. I thoroughly enjoyed this record. This is another staple of Big Ed's adolescence, with Daltrey's vocal performance probably his best effort, in my opinion. His voice was very mature and very growl. You know, it was a very full. Some of Townsend's most intricate layering of guitar and synthesizer. Even Rolling Stone had something to say about John Entwistle's songwriting, and say it was some of his best to date, making mention of Trick of the Light, a biographical. It's actually an autobiographical encounter with a prostitute asking her if he was all right in bed. Ironically, John Entwistle would die 24 years later at the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas with a stripper. He used to a stripper, actually, he used to frequent when he was on tour, when he was in town. She found him cold and unresponsive in the morning after a night of blow. The drumming on this is as good as on Quadrophenia. Mood would die of alcohol poisoning 3 weeks after the release of this album. Now, there's a lot of stuff. They had a lot of problems with Keith Moon in this album. His drinking was out of control, but he was late to practice. He was missing beats. He couldn't remember his parts. Love Is Who Are You music. The music was changed, has no drum parts because Keith Moon couldn't remember the parts, and they just went with the shoe squeaking, like a shoe walking. The songs are a reflection of the change in the industry at the time of dying disco and the growing popularity of punk. The change was of the Who's way of expressing the way they felt, from the anger to disappointment to drinking and test tube babies, and an autobiographical encounters of different members of the group. This album contributed also to the legend of the Duke Boy of Nesquog and his antics in the General Lee. I dedicate this to the Boys of Nesquog and Laurie Petraka. Some of these songs, like the Who Are You, was written by Pete Townsend with a hangover. He says he doesn't really remember writing it, but he wrote it. He was a night of drinking, and he thought he met Johnny Rotten. It was actually the two guys from The Clash, who would ironically tour with them during the Face Dances tour. This album is another three. It's you know, because now if I look at Quadrophenia, Who's Next, and Tommy, which are all 3.38 to 4.2 in that range, like just spectacular. This was still a good solid effort and a directional change for them trying synthesizers. They were trying, you know, they were writing the album. If you listen to the words, a lot of it's about complacency, you know. Some of the lyrics, like Trick of the Night and not Trick of the Light, Guitar and Pen, and Had Enough. So I have nothing much more to say. One of my favorite albums. The album cover is legendary. You know, them backstage with all the equipment and amplifiers and unplugged cables and, you know, with the stencil on the trunk that says Keep Away, and Keith Moon's chair that says Not to be Taken Away. This had a big impact on me growing up. So has a place in my heart, and it's in my rotation. Casey, what did you think about this album?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up hearing this album a lot. I mean, Who Are You? Like you said, it's a staple. I mean,
yeah, he actually, you know, woke up in a Soho doorway. And the policeman knew who he was. He's a fan. And just instead of taking him in, he just gave him a ride to the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that, you know, that would happen for them. You know, no, I like the album. It's definitely like a watershed moment in rock, because, you know, they were kind of going through that same thing with Led Zeppelin. You know, Bonham was kind of unraveling as well. I don't think as bad as Keith Moon. Keith Moon, he was getting really sloppy at the end.
Yeah, Pete Townsend wanted to kick him out, tell him to clean his act up, and he did. He finished the album and then died.
Yeah. I mean, but the Who and Zeppelin were going through this thing of, well, you had this punk movement, you know, there was disco. Yeah, and really they were on the cusp of like really new wave starting, and you know, there you get like synthesizer coming in. So it's definitely a change, especially if you are someone that grew up with like the Who and remember them with Quadrophenia and, you know, their earlier works. I mean, this
right,
is
but a lot of these artists, Led Zeppelin, the Stones, and the Who were approaching middle age.
Absolutely. And you know what? Changing their sound. They were all changing their sound.
They were freaking adults. I mean, you know, had family, you know, starting families, so priorities changed. Led Presence. So there was still, you know, some good stuff out there. Don't get me wrong, but it was different. Sure. You know, and the Who also, they were a group that wasn't afraid to try something different. Like, none of their albums really sound alike. You know, they're just a little bit different going across the board. But this was like a total, you know, like a 90-degree turn. Right. And they toured the album. They toured in 79 with Kenny Jones from Faces. Yeah. Played with Ron Wood. Ron Wood had left to go to the Stones. Rod Stewart was gone.
Yeah, imagine that, huh? That's no lightweight right there.
Yeah. Oh, no, that the Faces was another, you know, a big deal.
Oh, well, you know, by the way, the Faces are coming back. Ronnie Wood and Rod Stewart are supposed to be getting back together, bring back faces.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, wow. I'm surprised no one was talking about that. I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of neat, little reunion.
Yeah, they've all changed. I mean, that's been 40-plus years, maybe 50 years.
Since they've been together, sure. I mean, a lot.
Rod Stewart's on a celebrity dating game. He's a host.
Celebrity dating game? What are you guys watching?
No, I don't know. That's when sweet Melissa said he's on some show, but I can't imagine what dating show he's on.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I didn't know he was on TV doing that.
Yeah.
He's like a knight. Like, he's Sir Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Hey.
He sings songs.
He needs to.
All
right, that's really weird.
Like, they're funny songs about the celebrities. No. Like, he gives away clues as to who they are through his music. And it's always one of his songs that are parody.
True.
It's sort of fun. That's, like, the good part of the show.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the Who. That's it, guys.
All right. Yep. So.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
All right. So before I suddenly cut you off, I apologize, Big Ed. What were you saying before we went into the fanfare before?
Oh, you wanted to hear about the Hoopty challenge and the Hoopty.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Motor Trend TV, correct?
Well, there's two of them. There's the Hoopty challenge.
Right.
Is they look at these cars, and they got to be like $3,000 or less, and then they pick six of them, and then they pin them against each other down a quarter mile.
And other tracks, correct?
That sounds like the first 10 cars I ever owned would qualify.
Yeah.
You could have entered the Hoopty Challenge. You had,
and you know what? And you know what? Which one would have probably won of those first early cars?
Your Oldsmobile.
No. I had a 19 – actually, Big Ed, remember this. I got this to a brother-in-law of mine for brief on a loaner status. It's a 1989 Isuzu I-Mark II Turbo. Red manual.
Yeah.
And that thing was quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was quick car, man. That thing was a legit sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that was a fun. What car was that?
It was Darren's car. And they gave the Diane gave me Darren's car when he passed.
But I had it briefly because I had a car I totaled and I needed something.
Right.
So I had it for. I had it, I think, for like 2.5 months, and then, you know, I gave it back when I got my car back.
So this is what happened. I was away, and the guy, one of Darren's buddies, took the car, and I think he got a DWI or something. It got impounded, and they couldn't get it out. They just left it there.
At the impound yard?
Yeah. I have to ask Diane. Is Mama D listening? I don't see her.
No, she's not. No. I don't know. But you know, I notice if we've ever done anything on Saturday, she never comes in live. So she'll listen. She'll end up reaching out at some point.
So did the car ever get? Did you ever get the car back?
No, no one ever saw the car again.
So it ended up getting towed, or
then there was a title issue. Yeah, so, but that was a good car. Isuzu used to make a good car.
I drove it twice.
Oh, God.
But that thing was a sleeper.
It was. It was quick, man.
Do you know that it stayed in the garage for months?
It did. It did for a while.
Because you know why, right?
Yeah, let's not repeat that story. There's a really big alleged story. We probably shouldn't repeat that one.
You can fill me in on it. in the after show.
yeah, that's the after show show. Mm-hmm. If you want to pay and subscribe, then you can hear the story
on the after show show.
And you can reach us for details about being a patron of Warm Beer and Cheap Seats at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com.
Because there are plenty of stories that can't be told on there. There's some that have passed the statute that can be told.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe in lieu of an album review, I could tell one of those stories.
But here, all right, so I had a 78 Oldsmobile Cutlass Salon. That would be a hoopty. Then I had the 1990 Volkswagen Golf. That thing was a shitty hoopty. However, that was like a natural massager, just vibrated constantly in neutral position. Like the whole car, I'm surprised every bolt didn't unscrew itself. That thing, I've never had a car vibrate
did
so
have,
much.
Like, bad motor mounts?
No, it's just I don't know what that thing was. That thing was just
a piece of shit.
It just vibrated. I had the Isuzu Y-Mark, then I had an 83 Honda Accord 4-speed manual. That was fun. Slow, but fun.
Yeah, slow cars are okay if they're fun.
And a 90 Accord hatchback. Then I had the 87 Grand Marquis. You know, a funny story about the Grand Marquis. We performed a brisk in the back. You know, baby's fun.
Are you kidding me?
Kids hung like a horse to this day. Wow. And then
a big old scar.
Yeah. Mazel top. And then
Mazel oops.
And then I actually had a work vehicle, so I didn't have a car for a while, and then 86 Golf.
And so you went back to the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And
that one was way better. Shook a lot less.
It's so shook.
Yeah. It had a manual sun. You know what's great? The Volkswagen, they had a manual sunroof. They had like a little hand crank. So I had this guy I worked with. He had actually somehow drank himself out of ASU as someone being I don't know if I ever told the story about this guy. I mean, he went to ASU. It's like a number one party school. And
we were talking about this the other day.
I did. Yeah, was this on air?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Anyways, I mean, he had to drink a lot to party out of LSU. Arizona State and being a tight, you know, playing football.
Right.
But he was like 6'8". So I would actually open the sunroof so he could sit up. So part of his head would stick out of it.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. It was a real clown show. Like me and him riding around in my car.
Giraffe.
I was like, come on, you really don't want to ride around the car, do you? He's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, all right. Yeah, so there we'd be just, you know, scooting around base somewhere. A lot of people giving us weird
side.
There
was a significance to the story of this guy from ASU, though, that we were talking about.
Yeah, I forget what. He was an interesting guy to work aircraft on or with. Yeah,
there was something of significance that he was able to do. But
those were my hoopties. But the Isuzu I-Mark, I would say
you'd like to have the I-Mark back.
Oh yeah, to enter it in this competition, sure thing. I like this idea.
And he also has the hoopty championship. Now, I'm only on the second episode, but so far there are five,
so
six cars.
Each bomb from each episode?
What's that?
Each bomb from each episode that wins goes to the championship?
No. I think the championship is the accumulation of points, kind of like
a gotcha.
Three for first, two for second, one for third, and then four, five, six get dick.
Well, oh, okay. Well, you got my attention. But I like the idea of, you know, it's
but
cheap.
These cars could be $5,000.
Yeah.
Not three.
I bet you can find like a Ferrari for $5,000 somewhere.
Or well, some it, guy, some it. Guy had a title, a WRX with a what do you call the title? That's with a salvage title.
Well, salvage a branded title. Salvage, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And if turns out that he bought it like from, you know, some. I think this guy's an extreme racer because he knows Jeremy McGrath. Or which one?
Oh, yeah, that's Jeremy McGrath. He's a big racer. Yeah.
He does, so they were kind of skeptical on that, and they had to see like a text where he sold it to him for $4,500, and another guy bought. He's got like a 53 GMC Stepside pickup with a LS. But he paid $1,500. He showed the text message, you know, and they're like, "What?" And it's a pig. They got it and they never worked it. You know what I mean? Some of the guys got the car and they got to work on it. And then other guys got an 89 Firebird, and there are two Nissan 350Zs that are all fucked up in the back.
So let me ask you, so they do or do not get to work on these cars before entering them into this contest?
You know what? They get that. I know they have garage time, but like between races, they get to work on it.
Okay.
Like the first one was quarter mile. The first episode was a quarter mile. And then they got to work on it after they qualified. And then they have the drag race. And then now they take the car the way it's set up and they go to the dirt track with their racing slicks. And they qualify on this quarter mile dirt track.
And after they qualify,
they go to the garage. Then they could go change tires and set it up for the track.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm on the third episode. I don't know where they're at. I think they were going to be at a drift course or something like that.
So the car will go the way it was at the dirt track.
Right.
To goes the drift to, course, wherever it may be.
Right, and then they qualify with that setup, and then race. Then they set it up
for
the race.
The new track.
After they qualify, then they can fuck with the car.
Right. They got to qualify with the what they got. Run what you're from.
Right, and then they can work on it after they qualify. So it's been pretty good. I like that kind of shit. You know, Roadkill. It's simple. I like simple TV. Nothing like Dirt Every Day. Those guys are hilarious. That guy reminds me of Bobcat Goldthwait. I'm telling you, you don't realize how funny he is. And his buddy, you know, that goes with him on these adventures. They, you know, they pull something out of a junkyard. They took.
I was watching Roadkill this morning.
These guys are dirt every day. They took a Nissan Armada. It was like a 2006. They wanted to make a sand buggy out of it. They already had the 5.7 and it had a V8. So they took and they gutted the whole thing. So they had nothing in it but the steering wheel and the dash. They put race seats in it to make it light. They pull all the glass out, all the interior, all the insulation. So now it's a shell. And then he takes a drill, like a 2-inch drill, a drill bit, like the one that has the little, has a drill bit, and then it's a hole saw. And
hole saw, fucking
punches, I don't know, 300-400 holes in this thing.
So now it's a little body.
So this thing, and he paints it purple. And then they put on like some dirt tires. Oh, they put paddle wheels on it.
Oh yeah.
And I want to say they welded differentials so they have posi in front and rear. And then go and they just drive the shit out of this thing. It's that stuff entertains me. I don't have to
think about
it. I can imagine it. I can imagine doing it. You know, I mean, it's just that kind of thing. It's not that complicated except the welding. The welding, this guy is one of the best welders I've ever seen. Fred, I don't know his last name, Fred Williams or something. It's his buddy Fred. They both can weld, but Fred, he just takes it to another level.
Yeah, I'm just getting into Roadkill. It's been on TV for quite some time. I'm just now getting into it, and I find it very entertaining.
I think you like Roadkill Garage then, if you like Roadkill.
Yeah.
Because Roadkill Garage has Freiberg and Dulcich, and I like Dulcich. Steve Dulcich, he also works for Hot Rod or whatever magazine they work for.
Like an 8th headband though?
No.
Okay. No, I'm talking about count cars.
Counting cars, yes.
Yeah. The count, he's got that 8-gauge headband.
To cover up his bald spot.
Yeah. Next season's going to be 10-gauge.
The count.
Yep.
Blast
from the count. That guy can't do something for under $5,000.
I mean, no. Wait till you get to the episode where they have this gremlin with the Cadillac motor in it. It's got a 502 in it.
Pretty awesome.
That thing just does burnouts for miles. It just has so much torque. That Cadillac motor only revs at like $4,000. You know, so for $3,000, but for $3,000, you're getting pure fucking torque, you know? That's all it is torque. That's why they use it, you know, for footwear.
Yeah, move the
car.
Big cars, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Need that
low rev, high torque. Yeah. That's probably my favorite episode. I just love when they – and they put – I think they take a Suzuki Samurai and they put a Hemi in a 440. That thing was like a death mobile. I'd be scared to drive it, and I'm usually not scared to drive anything. But that thing was really sketchy because the steering wheel was kind of off-centered because they took a Suzuki Samurai and they put a 440 in it, you know. They had to cut the whole firewall out. I mean, they do so – you know what? They do it on a budget, and it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to work.
And I think that's the beauty of the whole show. Now, speaking of the Samurai with the V8, there was a shop here in town that they were putting small block Chevys in Samurais.
Yeah, small block.
Yeah, no, yeah, not a 440 Chrysler, not a big block Chrysler.
I haven't seen a Samurai forever, but I see a lot of what was the one that Gio made?
A Tracker.
There's a ton. There's like a Tracker
club
like out in West Tampa. I see really? All the time, and they're all pastel colors. So
I think they're all Spanish guys too. Probably.
I would just go on a limb on that one.
If they're in West Tampa,
yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt.
And are they customized? Besides having pastel colors,
They might have like doors removed, but yeah. Outside of like, you know, good speakers, they look pretty kind of stock.
Yeah,
you know.
I wonder what the attraction to that car is.
Cheap, like
probably.
That.
It, you know, it's cheap and
the
it's
price like, is
and,
right.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden that catches on, that becomes a trend, and those things quadruple in price.
Yeah, it's just, but you know what it is? Like, they're like, you know, Jeeps are just way too expensive. So it's not, sometimes it's fun to have something to have fun with that you can afford to have fun with.
Yeah, yeah.
To mess around and do something, to personalize it, work on it.
You drive it. It's not, you're not buying a 70 Cuda.
Right, right.
340 Cuda that you're like, I can't take it out because it might get a rock chip.
Yeah.
You want something that you can drive and go, okay. Oh, I got a rock chip. Oh, well. I'll put it away and I'll drive it next week.
Right.
And I'll get another rock chip.
Right.
And I won't care. So you need to track down the Tracker bunch.
I catch them near my work from time to time.
You need to track them down. We need to get some info.
Do they put like pipes on them so they sound like little fart shooters?
No. Actually, they don't. But they put some legit speakers in there.
Yeah.
So that's usually what you hear. You're not hearing the vehicle. You're hearing the speakers.
You want to hear something? Big Ed had a little had a duel out today with an Integra.
Uh-oh.
It's coming from...
So how did Cadzilla do against the
Integra?
Well, this guy had this thing machined. I could see he had suspension work and racing tires on it. He had like an Integra bumper, but it was a Honda deck lid. So I don't know. It was definitely... I guess Honda, Acura, this shit will interchangeable on some of the stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. Yes.
I could hear it. He was just, you know, popping and accelerating, you know, as we drove near each other. And I was just, you know, ignoring them. So we get to the light to make the left onto the toll road, the 417, the Sanford exit, coming from, like, say you're coming from the airport. Light turns green. Well, as we're sitting there, he's revving it. I go, oh. I go, I'm thinking this car is fast. I could tell, I could hear it. It's a fast car. You know what I mean? It's more than just the pipe and an intake, you know? So I put it in sport mode. And as soon as that light greens, I just fucking jump on it. And once my car hits like $4,000, it just starts lurching. And I could tell, all of a sudden I could hear, I could see him coming up on my left because he's got to merge into my lane. So and that's his plan. That's his plan the whole time is to pass me. Well, I just stayed in it. Got up to like 80 really fast before I even merged, before I even got off the exit. And I think he missed the shift. I heard that thing like he hit the rev limiter. So I don't know if he fucked up. And then once we got on the toll road, he, you know, he blew by me. But I, you know what? At that point, my car was at 77 speed control, you know, cruise control on, and you know, you could play whatever game you want, you know.
So you went by with a fart cannon blazing.
He went by me at a good clip, and he was still, you know, was still pulling. I think he just missed the shift. I just put my foot in it, you know, and just here we go.
There you have it. The adventures of Big Ed.
Big Ed. Old habits die hard.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah, little caddy didn't let me down, though. Once that thing starts spinning, though, that's it. It's over.
Well, speaking of it being over.
Yes.
I think that's about it.
Oh, yeah, we did pretty good. Hour and 20 minutes. That went by pretty fast.
Yes.
Breeze through it. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on a Saturday special edition of Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats.
Yes.
Hey, so what if we wanted to contact you guys? Where would I find you guys again?
Well, you'd find the Subway Slam at the Albany County Jail.
Albany County Jail. It's a real place.
Yes. You know, I guess in the Regents, they don't do geography or any of that anymore. So, you know, maybe it's time they need a different governor. You know, they're in tough times. But you can reach us on Twitter at Beer Seats, or you can reach us on email at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com. We love your input. Thank you for everyone for listening. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing else. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I got
there you go.
And then I got this music.
And Petey's doing great, guys. Just so you know, a little Petey up there.
We didn't talk about Petey. Hey, everybody, Petey's good.
Hey, Petey's good. He's eating well.
Eating really
lots
well.
Lots of fiber.
Him and the algae eater are getting fat.
A lot of frog poop. His favorite shirt's shit hard.
Yeah.
What does frog shit look like?
It's like cracked porcelain.
I don't ask a catfish. They're probably eating it.
Yeah.
Catfish doesn't talk. It's hard.
They probably answer that.
Cue the music.
Is it over yet?
How about now?
How about now?